wait, here's a guy, maybe I'll ask him. Sir,
yeah.
Do you know where the actual Full House house is?
That's interesting. You'd think it would be there, but it's not.
It started as almost a fairy tale when comedian and actor Bob Saget slid in Kelly Rizzo's DMs. And then the unthinkable happened.
I'm going to tell you the story of the day my husband died.
She was already a blogger and media personality, but the focus changed as she used her grief to help others.
People were telling me, like, you're so strong, you're so strong. And I was like, am I? I don't know. I guess let's put that to the test.
And now on The Pulse, Kelly Rizzo is sharing how her healing journey can inspire others to still believe you can find love.
I imagine you haven't dated a lot of other widows in your life.
Obviously, it was different because I knew Bob. I didn't know Bob very well, but I really liked Bob, and Bob really liked me.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. By now, after what, 160 or so episodes, you know the drill. We've got cool people who join us. They've got amazing stories. We got a chance to sit down and talk to them. And today, I love the kind of do a little bit of everything well type of guest. So Kelly Rizzo is a television host, a producer, a lifestyle blogger, has kind of become grief counselor through the podcast, eat, travel, rock, and comfort food. Kelly, you do a lot of things, but welcome to The Pulse.
Well, thank you for having me. And you know what the problem with that is that anytime anyone ever asks me, like, what do you do? I'm always like, I don't know. Because there's just so much that I'm like, where do I begin? I can make a list for you.
So I'm glad I didn't ask because I was going to.
No, you said it perfectly. That was like the perfect intro. Thank you.
But it's a lot of things. You know, and so when people ask, I think they're almost, I don't think they're intentionally trying to pigeonhole you, but it's like define you in some kind of way. Now, have you always just wanted to do multiple things and just keep exploring, or is this relatively new?
I think it all started maybe 10, 15 years ago when I started my Eat, Travel, Rock blog that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And just by definition, it had food, travel, and music in it. So that already was doing three things at once. And then it was, you know, the blogging and then a lot of TV activations. And then it was just all these different things. And then, you know, 4.5 years ago now, when I lost my late husband, Bob, it took a little turn. And then, as you mentioned, evolved into talking a lot about grief and then trying to help people with that. So it's been a lot of different things, but somehow it's been really fulfilling to try to bring them all together.
So, we want to talk about your late husband and the comfort food because it all kind of ties together.
Yeah.
But I respectfully feel like there's a lot of journey to get to there. So did you know early on that you wanted to do media, that you wanted to do entertainment? Like, when did this become your career path?
It's so interesting. I feel like I always wanted to do it, but I grew up in Chicago. I lived in Chicago my whole life, and my family was in real estate. And so I had an almost 20-year career in real estate before I ever started anything, you know, in the entertainment world. But my mom, she was in broadcasting for a while. She was a model. She was definitely in the entertainment space, and she was brilliant at what she did as a broadcaster and as a spokesperson. And so there was always in me a little bit.
Okay.
And then I went through a divorce in like 2012, and the real estate market, as you may have remembered,
yes,
took a turn for the worst, like after 2008. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm burnt out on real estate. I'm starting over. I went through this divorce. And so I was like, I'm just going to do something I'm passionate about. And so I started my Eat, Travel, Rock blog, and I just started writing and then doing a lot of on-camera stuff. And then it just kind of evolved over the last decade or so. But yeah, it did have this start because I needed to just reinvent myself completely.
I feel like you either are too young or look too young for me to say you were an influencer before kind of influencer was a thing.
Well, God bless you for saying that. I'll be 47 this month. But yeah, it's true. I was doing, you know, YouTube videos, and I started on Instagram maybe like the day Instagram started, you know, and it was like the word influencer in that context didn't even exist yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I started doing this in 2012, it just wasn't a thing yet. So I got to kind of evolve with the times, and I like to think was maybe a little bit ahead of the curve because I had been doing it for so long.
I feel like you're a lot ahead of the curve. Oh, wow. I mean, it was, I mean, there was some experience, I guess, with blogs when people were trying to do that, obviously, because you started a blog, but it wasn't the thing that you kind of made it into. Like, does it surprise you that I'm just going to do something I'm passionate about grew into all this?
I really thought at the time, I was like, what do I have to lose? You know, I went through a divorce, my career was tanking, and I was like, I just want to focus on what I'm passionate about. What do I love? Like, if I love to talk about something, then hopefully other people will feel that passion coming from me and then resonate with it. And I was like, well, I'm sick of talking about real estate. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. Sorry, Mom and Dad. And I was like, I love food and travel and music. I'm just going to talk about that. And then it, you know, slowly, very slowly, as I said, this has been a 14-year journey now, has been, you know, evolving and evolving. And there's been so many things that have worked, but more things that haven't. And you just learn from those mistakes, and you learn from just all of this experience as to, okay, what feels good for me, what works for me, and what do I think people might actually benefit from?
So I feel like you don't have to say sorry, Mom and Dad, now, because it worked out. Like, I think when
well,
you
did it.
Well,
now they're very proud and they're very happy. And I think up until even just a couple years ago, my dad would still mention things like, you know, honey, we've got this big project we're working on. If you want to help us out with it, I'm like, Dad, I don't even live in Chicago anymore. Like, no. And then now I think he finally understood, like, all right, that's in her past.
Yeah, I feel like that's most parents in kind of entertainment. You better keep that good job with those benefits. And
oh, he did not understand it at first. You know, my dad's he's an immigrant, came from Sicily, you know, on the boat. Yeah. And, you know, you work hard, you work with the family, you stay with the family. And I think when I was like, I'm going to go out to L.A. and do this whole crazy thing that you don't even know what it is and you can't even explain it, it just did not make sense to him. And then now finally he gets it. But it took a minute.
Yeah. Well, and I would think that more people get it now. Like when you sit there and talk to people now about your career and your journey, and we'll talk about the second season and comfort food and all of that, people get it now.
Yeah.
But then, like, that's a lot. That's a lot tougher sell, you know, because there weren't people who were making major careers as influencers. And you could point to people going, look at all this money they're making doing this thing. You know, you were kind of, in some ways, leading the path.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, you know, as anyone probably even in my shoes would say, like, it always looks more glamorous and exciting than it really is, because it's such a hustle all the time. And it's such a ongoing, you know, kind of fight to try to do what you love when it's an industry that is so brand new and people didn't understand, as you said. You know, even just a few years ago, people would be like, wait, you make money from Instagram or like traveling? People pay you to travel? Like, I don't understand that. And I'm like, okay, well, let me explain how it works, you know? And it was a big challenge. And still to this day, people have a lot of questions about it. And it's so funny because there are some people who almost get offended if people are like, wait, how do you make money? But for me, I'm always I like that people are interested and fascinated by it. And it's natural that people would have these questions. So I'm never offended if people are confused as to how it all works.
Yeah, I feel like it's how do you make money was kind of the crinkle up your face kind of question before.
Right.
And now it's kind of, how do you make money? Like, how can teach me?
Yeah, I mean, people have whole YouTube and Instagram careers talking about how to do exactly this type of thing, you know, and it's just such a whole new world. And it was the wild, wild west for a while. And it's still almost, it's coming out of that a little bit because it's a little bit more understood now, but it's still kind of a free for all.
So I say this with a high level of respect. You're a little different. Like you did special forces.
Oh yeah.
That explains a lot about not fearing the risk and what have you. Cause that's nuts.
Yeah, it was insane. And to this day, I say it's the best thing I've ever done and the worst thing I've ever done at the same time. Definitely the craziest thing I've ever done. Actually, I met Kayla Nicole, who won season 3 of Special Forces. Okay. She and Brody Jenner won season 3, and I was on season 2, and I was like in the middle of the pack. I made it halfway. But I met her at this event a few days ago. And we just immediately trauma bonded because, you know, she, as I said, she won. So she made it farther. But we were both like, can you believe, like, we can't believe we did that. Like, what is wrong with us that we actually thought that this was acceptable? And I'm so glad that I did it, though. It was such a challenge. You know, I was coming off of the last year and a half, because that was about a year and a half after Bob had passed away. And people were telling me, like, you're so strong. You're so strong. And I was like, am I? I don't know. I guess let's put that to the test.
Wow. So you've mentioned a couple times. So Comfort Food is just premiering its second season, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And it talks about a lot of things, but you've mentioned Bob a couple of times. Bob Saget is your late husband. Everybody obviously knows him and is familiar with him and his experiences. But in some ways, it kind of became a thing. So was Comfort Food and that discussion and helping people and coping, did that predate the relationship?
No. So what had happened was, well, first off, Bob had experienced so much loss in his life and so much death. And it sounds weird, but he was like an expert at it because he had been through so much. And so he taught me so much that, you know, I wish I even retained 10% of all the incredible things that he taught me over the years. But he was always just so good at it. Like if somebody else lost somebody, like he knew exactly what to do. And I had never really been around it. I had never lost anyone that close to me like he had. And so I was always so fascinated by how brilliant he was at handling it and helping other people. And after I lost him in, you know, January 2022, I was obviously a mess for a very long time. But I remember I had this, even from day one, I never, like people would say like, oh, you got robbed. It's not fair. It's not fair what happened to you. You got robbed. And I was like, sure. No, I don't feel like that. I feel so blessed and grateful that I got to have him for 6 years instead of it's not fair I didn't have him for longer. And I just remember being like, I'm not going to let this break me. I'm not going to let this destroy me. And if I can use this to then help other people just as he would have done, then I want to do that. And I inadvertently, I didn't even know I was doing it, but I remember like 2 weeks after he passed, I went on my first hike outside. Okay. And I posted something on Instagram because I hadn't been posting or sharing anything at all. And it was the first thing I shared. I just, you know, a picture of the mountain and just said, getting some fresh air today or something like that. And I had so many people message me saying, you know, I just lost my mom last week and you just inspired me to go outside. Or thank you, I lost my husband 6 months ago and haven't yet been able to take a walk outside and now I'm going to. And I was like, wait, I don't even know what the heck I'm doing. I don't know how I'm helping anyone else, but it kept progressing like that. I would finally start sharing recipes again. And people would be like, I just lost my husband and you inspired me to cook again. I'm like, okay, once again, I'm no expert, but if I can just keep sharing these things as I go along on my journey, if it seems to help people, then great. And then, you know, as I mentioned, I had been cooking a lot. And then it came time, you know, a little over a year after Bob passed, I was like, maybe I can interview other people who have gone through loss while eating their favorite comfort food. So it's like we're talking about death and grief, but while eating their favorite comfort food. So that was season one of the podcast. Okay. But then, you know, that was years ago now, and I've evolved a little bit past talking only about grief. You know, I still talk about Bob constantly, and I talk about the loss of Bob all the time and grief, and I'll still always have that be incorporated. But now it's like there's other topics as well that I want to share and get other people's perspectives on and hopefully help people with that as well.
I feel like in researching, sitting down and talking to you, I feel like it was successful. It is successful because it is something that so many people need and don't know what to do with. You know, and I, from a personal standpoint, like COVID killed my father. So I lost my father to COVID. And it was, thank you. Something that you just said kind of resonated. Like I was angry for a minute, you know, because it happened so fast. And then it was this whole discussion of, I felt cheated, as you pointed out. Yeah. This is unfair. And at some point it was, you know, no, I was blessed that I had as much time as I did. And it speaks volumes about the relationship. To be in this much pain means you must have experienced that much love. And I wouldn't trade that. You know? And so when I hear those stories, I think that's why maybe it resonates with so many people, because we're all kind of searching for, what do I do with this if we've been through those experiences?
Yeah. And the thing is, and now that you've experienced such personal and deep and profound loss, you now understand what it feels like. Yes. And then if somebody else, if you have a friend or somebody go through it, you know how better to relate to them and how to understand them and know what they're going through. Like where before, I didn't know. And I feel so badly for all of the times, let's say I had a friend who lost somebody or a friend who lost a parent, and I like didn't really know how to show up for them because right. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then once you're, you know, quote unquote, in the club and you get it, you can help other people better. So what I was trying to do, especially in that first season of the podcast, was have, you know, it was a lot of Bob's friends, you know, the whole Full House cast. But then I also had like experts in grief. Like I had Rabbi Steve Leader. I had other, you know, grief therapists and hospice nurses and all of these people who were living this day to day.
Yeah.
And they just shared so much about how to, like, what does help and what doesn't help. Like maybe what you shouldn't say to a friend who's grieving and what you should say to a friend who's grieving, or what actually does help. And like, maybe let's stop doing this. Like maybe enough with the flowers already, because yeah. they just die. And then you feel like, ugh, what do I do with these dead flowers now? You know? So every person I talked to gave such helpful insight as to what was really helpful to them and what wasn't helpful. And then, so it's like, all right, let's take all of that info together. And then now everyone, whether you've lost somebody or not, will have a little bit of, you know, more ammo to help people yeah. going forward.
You really do know from a position of experience that the sun will come up tomorrow and that you have survived 100% of the toughest days of your life so far. And you'll be able to go
very
forward.
True.
So comfort food season two, you talk about this and helping people and it expanding. So the first episode was a little interesting because you very clearly and always will have a feeling of love, respect, appreciation for your ex, for your late husband. I'm sorry.
Right. For Bob. Yeah.
Yes. But now you're in another relationship. A loving relationship with someone who knew him. They weren't friends, but you knew right. him. And that's your first episode. So tell me how that came to pass. Because on the surface, that's like, okay.
Yeah, because you know what? It's been such a remarkable situation with Brecken because, as you mentioned, Brecken and Bob were friendly, but not best friends.
Right.
So they had this respect for one another and really liked each other. So I always joke that Brecken's like the one person on earth that Bob would not be mad about. Okay. He wouldn't love it, but he wouldn't be mad about it. He's like, if it's going to have to be somebody, let it be Brecken. But Brecken has been such a source of just like hope and joy in my life, because I was so concerned about like one day when I'm ready to date again, how am I ever going to find anybody who appreciates what I went through, mm-hmm. who gets Bob, who gets that I'm never going to stop talking about him and I'm always going to be sharing about him and he's always going to be a part of my life. And Bob's daughters are such a part of my life and all of his friends are so important to me still. And like Bob's not going anywhere. So finding somebody who is strong enough and confident enough to embrace that and accept it, I was like, that's going to be pretty hard. And Brecken, just from day one, he was just so supportive and just got it. And he loves talking about Bob. And, you know, he never makes me feel weird for sharing about him or talking about him or having him be a part of my life. Like Brecken now has become close with Bob's daughters and, you know, his Bob's ex-wife loves Brecken. I mean, it's just such a very special, wonderful situation that it just made so much sense to share that. Because, you know, ever since we've started dating, I've gotten so much support and love around it. Like everyone's like, we love seeing you happy. But I'm like, I want people to understand, number one, what makes Brecken so special. But number two, that there are other people out there who are going to see this. And maybe you're a man and you just like you met this widow and you're like, I really care about her, but I don't know how best to support her. And then you watch this episode and you're like, okay, this is what I need to do. Her late husband is not threatening to me. You know, he's not coming back, but I have to be okay with having him be present.
Yeah.
And
well, and that again, I would imagine, and Brecken Meyer, for people who don't know, you see him, you'll know him. He's an actor. He's, you know, you will recognize him when you see him if you don't necessarily recognize the name, just for clarity. But I also think it in again, comfort food and helping people cope and understand that you were a young widow.
Yeah.
And so for people out there who are dealing with something like that, to recognize you got to find somebody who is capable of handling this, and that person isn't ever going away. But right. I think on the flip side of that, they exist, you know, so that must be encouraging to people as well.
Yes. Yes, they do exist. And, you know, you might have to sift through a few people. Like maybe not everyone is going to be able to be as great about it as Brecken has been. But I've heard so many stories because of what I do now. I have so many wonderful, young, beautiful widows who are always messaging me and, you know, sending me DMs or whatever, and or commenting on certain posts and saying, you know, I lost my husband at 28 and now I'm remarried again with three kids and my current husband just never made me feel weird or feel bad about celebrating my late husband. You know, it's constant messages like that. So they do exist. They are out there. And that is a scary thing for a lot of widows, is they feel like they'll never truly find someone who can let them have these two loves exist side by side, because they can exist side by side. Just because you have one doesn't negate the other or diminish the other. So it's complicated. It is something that's a little tough to navigate sometimes. You know, I always get insecure, you know, about, you know, ooh, was I talking about Bob too much today? Like, did that make him feel weird? And I'll check in with him and he'll be like, no, I'm good. I'll let you know, you know? Yeah. So
it's inspiring. It really is. It's interesting. I encourage people to check it out. So what are we going to see? Do you even know what we're going to see in the second season of Comfort Food? We know episode one. Like, what are we expecting?
Yeah. So I've had a few episodes out now. I mean, it's really run the gamut from Brecken. I've had, I had my sister on a couple episodes to talk about, being bullied as an adult, because that happened to me. And so I shared my story, romance scams and like how to deal with them, because they're so pervasive now in our society, which is crazy. But then also, like, last week I had Lala Kent on and we were talking about, you know, her awful like betrayal and breakup and how she rebuilt her life. Next week I have Gabrielle Stone on, who is, you know, went through another awful betrayal and then rebuilt her life and wrote a best-selling book about it. So, you know, a lot of relationship issues, a lot of just different topics with really different interesting guests who in some way or another can help bring comfort to the audience.
I love it. So we've got that. You've done a little bit of everything, as we pointed out, from, you know, special forces to podcasts to reporting to blogs to, is there something else on the bucket list that we should be looking out for?
Oh gosh, it's so crazy. I will say the podcast world has been very fulfilling. And so right now that's the big thing that I'm really focused on, because it's just been so interesting to now also have full control over. Like, I'm self-producing it, so I get to just do it my way and have on who I want to talk to. And sometimes if I just want to do a solo episode, I'll just, you know, let it rip. And it's just been so fulfilling. And so right now I'm just really focused on that and, you know, just continuing to hopefully help people that have been through some similar situations.
Well, I appreciate the story. I appreciate this much time you've spent with us. We end every episode of The Pulse the same way. The theme of the show is to use your voice for good. So I ask everybody, what does the phrase "use your voice for good" mean to you?
Truly just lending a hand and reaching out and doing everything you can to just be there for people who have gone through a tough time. And I get to do that every single day with even just people who have, whether it's reach out to me on social media, or I have a membership now called Comfort Club, where I have a lot of people who have, it's mainly a grief group, who have lost somebody. It's mainly widows, and I get to just help them every day in my little cozy Comfort Club. And then that's really been a way that I've been able to give back, but then also get so much from, you know, all of these people as well.
I appreciate it. You're inspiring in a lot of ways. You're inspiring people to go out there and take a risk on what they may want to do with their career, that the sun will come up again, as we pointed out, that you can continue to live. So I appreciate this much time you spent with us. I wish you continued success.
I appreciate you spending so much time with me. Thank you so much for having me. This was just such a pleasure, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today was a little bit different than some of the things that we do. Kelly Rizzo is, yes, a television host, a producer, a lifestyle blogger, and so much more. She also is the widow of extremely well-known actor, comedian Bob Saget. But she really kind of defines the use your voice for good theme that we have on the show. She has taken her own challenges and her own grief and turned it into inspiration and used it as a platform to help other people. I enjoyed meeting her, talking to her, being inspired by her, and I hope you did as well. You can hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that's on your screen that gives you a reminder every week when the next episode of The Pulse comes out. I encourage you to follow me on social media at BillAFox29, and also my YouTube page, Bill Anderson on TV. Go ahead and give me a subscribe there if you would. I thank you as always for listening, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.